just trying to make a decision whether to give you an invitation to leave. Probably the hardest messages for me was last night, today, and this evening. You know, you have to know, you know, you have to experience the feeling, you know that it's not. You have to experience the feeling of knowing for sure from God you're supposed to do something. But yet, your flesh is like, I don't really want to do it. So I was telling Pastor David, you know, you have a choice. The choice that most people take is, well, I'll do it, but I'll change it. I kind of water down a little bit with, you know, soften, water, whatever you want to call it. I'll sort of do it, sort of not. Or, that's the choice most take. Or the choice is you can just go ahead, be obedient. Walk in as much love as possible. Go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. I don't know how many of you picked up on the warning last night. If you didn't pick up on the warning last night, you get a chance today. And just in case you miss it this morning, come back this evening. You get it again. All right, now I'll take the microphone. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, I was telling last night about, you know, how it was whenever I got born again and filled with the Spirit. And up until that time, you know, working in the real estate business and the investment, oil and gas investment business, well, you know, I don't know of anything that I ever done that was illegal, and I don't know of anything that I ever done that was, you know, in the way of business, you know. Not that I didn't do things wrong, but I don't know of anything that I did that I thought, you know, that I intentionally hurt anyone. I'll just put it that way. But we were ruthless. I mean, we, you know, if we seen a piece of property for an investment that we needed, wanted, we went after it with gusto. Fire in the belly. And then when I got born again, and especially I remember a few weeks after I got filled with the Spirit. And some of us, it wasn't just me, it was others that I was associated with and worked with. We noticed that we were letting things slide. We were walking in a peace, of course. And you're supposed to walk in peace your entire life. That's what the Word of God is about, is for you to walk in peace. That peace comes from your confidence in God that He's going to be there for you and to take you through in victory. But it wasn't just the peace, though. We've seen things were beginning to slide. Even just in those few weeks, we found ourselves You know, isn't this wonderful? But we weren't going after it with the drive that we had before. And so we get a false sense of we're just going to set by and God will take care of it. But yet, as Christians and as believers, we're supposed to get up off our rumps and take it by force. You know, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Not harming anyone, not intentionally destroying anyone or harming anyone, or even causing an offense, but for righteous' sake, for righteousness' sake, going after it with fire. We as believers, we're supposed to have that fire and that drive to continue on. And not just sat by, well, whatever happens, God will take care of it and pull us through. Sure, He'll pull us through. But we're to go after it. We're to discern what is the voice of God, make sure it's God's voice, and go after it. And not be led astray down a different road by something that sounds like God's voice, but yet hearing God's voice and knowing it, and then going after it with fire in our belly. And we as Christians, who once were mighty people in business and jobs, you know, I'm going to do a good job. Then you get born again, you get filled with the Spirit. Oh, well, I'm the righteousness in Christ. So ever how it works out today at the job, that'll be okay. Give me a break. You're to do a good job on your job. You're to be an example, not just through saying words like, I love Jesus. I know you love Jesus, but how about your life presenting an example? And if you don't have the Word of God in your life, operating in your life, the truth, the whole Word. And you can't have the truth except through the whole Word. That's the only way you're going to have the truth. You can't just sit by and it's going to happen. That's why I railed last night on these elections. See, I can say certain things from the pulpit, and certain things I'm not really supposed to say, but the things I said last night need to be said. You should have calluses on your knees for praying for God to have the God's person in political office, no matter whether it's locally or President of the United States. God still wants a righteous man in that office. He doesn't want a flesh tickler. He doesn't want someone that's going to eventually lead America astray. He wants a righteous person in that office. You still have time left to get a righteous person. You say, well, how are you going to vote when the time comes? I'm going to vote for what I believe that God is telling me is the most godly. As a believer, that's my obligation, that's my responsibility, that's my duty. To vote for the most godly.
Well, I don't know. I sure like one of them other health plans.
So, right away, we know where you stand and that you don't trust God. You revealed it. You didn't reveal who you're voting for. You just revealed that you're not trusting God. So we leave this fire in our belly that we once had. But yet as believers, we're supposed to have more of it than the world does. We're supposed to be able to do more with what we have to do with than the ordinary person on the street that doesn't know God. Because now, you know, we're born again, we're filled with the Spirit, we have access to God's wisdom. We have access to God's wisdom and to His fire that can drive us on. But yet, we come in, we sit down on Sunday morning, we sit down on Wednesday night, and we really sit down in a chair of complacency, not caring about anything, really. Oh, we care about whether we have food on the table. We care about whether the bills are paid. God wants you to have all those things. My goodness, one of your examples is that your bills are paid because God provided. But you know what? He provided for more than that. He provided for you to have more to do what He wanted you to do with. And what He wants you to do probably is going to be different than what He wants me to do. He probably ain't going to tell you, here's a budget for you to raise for Peru. He probably is not going to do that for you to believe in. He's going to have you believing for something else. Maybe as a part of that, but maybe as a part of several things. But if you don't have that fire and drive in your belly, you're not going to get there. Because you're going to come in, sit down. Don't care whether this church stays open or whether it doesn't. I can tell you right now, if you don't get on your knees, you're going to run out from under the grace of God with yourself and with this church. Well, I'll fight the devil tooth and nail. With what? You're not even reading the Word. How can you fight it? I'll fight this sickness off my body. I'll fight this sickness off my mind. Not without the Word of God. Because He describes in Ephesians our armor. And one of the parts of the armor, the first thing He describes, one of the first things is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. How are you going to chop the devil's head off if you don't have a sword? How are you going to defeat your enemy if you don't have anything to defeat him with? If you don't have a weapon to destroy him with? He's just going to destroy you, take your ground, doesn't even belong to him, takes it illegally, goes on down the road and leaves you in a mess. An emotional, broken down, financially broken down mess. And he done it subtly. Didn't even make a big deal out of it. Little by little. See, he usually don't do things all at once. It's little by little. Like water dripping on a rock. Wearing that rock out. Wearing a hole in that rock. Over time, hundreds, thousands of years. Drip, drip, drip. He does that to us. Suddenly. You know why? We don't even know what the Word says in most cases. If we do, we take it out of context. Get off in the wrong area. Go a different direction. False doctrine. Listen to anything and everything that comes along on TBN and other places. Been to several churches over the past 30 years. Got something different from every one of them. It was all wrong. It's funny, but it's not funny. Because it leaves you incapacitated. The enemy is winning as he subtly, little by little, takes everything that God gave you away from you. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Well, the more I meditate on just these few verses, I mean, I could just stay here all morning and preach on these verses here. There's so much truth in the Word of God, but if you never got in the Word of God, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know the truth. How are you going to know the truth? If you don't look at the truth, you don't get the truth down inside you, the Word of God. This is the only truth. It doesn't matter what situation you're in or what situation you could come up with. The only way you're ever going to get out of it, folks, is the Word of God. That's your only out. That's your only out. Look at this here, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, yes, we do walk in the flesh. We walk here on earth. We walk in the natural. We do not war according to the flesh. See, this is a spiritual battle. And you're in a war whether you like it or not. You know, we've had people that have been here at this church and they've left. And they've left saying, this is just too hard. So they went on down the street where their conscience was eased. They slid in on the seat every Sunday morning and Wednesday night and went home and they never changed. And to this day, they haven't changed. In fact, they've gotten worse. Sicker in their bodies, sicker in their minds. Because they didn't accept the fact that this is a war that we're in. That's the truth. We're in a war. And we will be in a war until we enter heaven's gates. Until Jesus comes after the church. Whichever comes first. It's not supposed to be easy. It's a war. You're in a war. And if you're not doing something about what you're supposed to be doing for God, some of you are going to die. Too early. Too early. And those of you that don't are going to lose out on what God had for you here on earth and when you get to heaven. And it's revealed your good works. And the rewards are passed around. See, it's not based on what I do. What I preach and teach here, I stand before God for. What you do with what He gave you to do with, what did He give you to do with? The Word of God. And what you do with what He gave you to do with is what you're going to be held accountable for. He gave you salvation. All you had to do was take it and receive it. If you received it, you were born again, you were saved, you weren't going to hell. If you took it, I take it, I receive that gift. He gave you another gift called the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Word that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. You don't have to be deceived by false doctrine. You don't have to be taken out by some cult. You don't have to be led down the road of deception by religion. Because you have the truth, the Word of God, and your helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide you into all truth. So you stand before God without an excuse. You can't even say that I led you wrong or somebody else led you wrong. Because you had access to that to guide you into all truth. And you had the chance, an opportunity to take that truth at one time or the other. There's not a person in here, not a person in this city that hasn't had or will have the opportunity to be born again. There's not a person in this city, there's not a person in this church that won't get the opportunity to come face to face with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't withhold. He doesn't withhold. So, we find ourselves, whether we like it or not, we find ourselves in a war. You know, and you can stand and let Him take your ground and take it illegally and be without and not have what you're supposed to have. Or, you can stand up and fight for it. But it's not a fight in the flesh. It's a spiritual fight. The darkness is spiritual. Your enemy is of the darkness. The fight is in the spirit. And he said, these weapons are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. These weapons are of God. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Well, where are the strongholds at? If it's not in the natural, it's not some fortress with a big wall. But yet he describes it as a stronghold. Something that is like a fortress. But yet it's not in the flesh. It's not in the natural. So what is it? It's strongholds in us. It's strongholds in our life. It's strongholds in our mind. And he says, these weapons are mighty in God for the pulling down of what? These strongholds. But you got to have the weapon. Some of you are saying, I'm standing. What are you standing with? I'm fighting. What are you fighting with? If you don't have the Word of God and use the Word of God, you're not going to defeat the enemy. You're not going to stop him in your life. He's just going to keep stealing from you and taking from you in your mind, in your body, spiritually. He's going to take from you and take from you. And some of you even stand the chance of going the wrong direction so far that you walk out from under the grace and you end up and God can't even get you back because you won't turn around and come back. See, he's always ready to take you back. But we can walk so far and get so far off in the wrong direction in an error that he can't even get us back because we can't come back. It's always up to us. He gave every one of us a free will. It's always up to us. And you can get so far down that road that even God can't get you back, even though he wants to. This is the war that we're in. He'll deceive you, seduce you, lie to you, make you sound like it's God's voice that you're hearing when it's not, and you can't even discern it because you don't know the Word of God, because you haven't spent time in the Word of God, because you haven't gotten the Word of God down inside you. I believe in angels. I do too. Good ones and bad ones. I'm kind of like Norval Hayes, I guess, in a way. How's that? Well, they asked him, said, do you see a devil behind every tree? He said, no, I see seven of them. I'm kind of the same way. We want to hear the good things. We want to hear the good things that God does. But then we start turning a deaf ear when somebody comes along saying, look, these lying, seducing spirits are out there. These tormenting spirits are out there. These deceptive spirits are out there. And they're going to lead you down the wrong path. And you're going to be destroyed because of it. See, some of you haven't done what you knew to do, but God was telling you to do certain things. And you haven't done what God told you to do. You stand a chance of walking out from under the grace of God and dying and going home early. Oh, yeah, you're saved. You probably go to heaven, you know, unless you get so far out there before then, you know, that he can't get you back and you lose your salvation because of some false doctrine. That can happen too. You don't believe in once saved, always saved. No, I believe that you can walk out from under it. It's hard to do, but I believe that you can do it. If you get intent on going the wrong direction far enough and being led astray by deception, I believe you can do it. But let's say you stay saved. But you're still going to walk out from under the grace if you don't watch it and open up to where your body is destroyed, and then you go to heaven early. Well, that wasn't good either. Yeah, you got to heaven, but you never got to finish your race. That wouldn't be a good deal. You never got to finish what God told you to do. Boy, whenever we start being disobedient to God, we open up to all kinds of things concerning our health and our body. One of the biggest things is strife, contention, letting offenses come in, causing strife in our lives and in our families. You don't want to lose those loved ones. You don't want to lose those kids. You want to have the Word of God that you can stand with the Word of God and cut the enemy's head off whenever he approaches one of your children.
I'm standing and believing with them. What are you standing and believing with? What are you standing on? We talked about the foundation and the footing last night, and that maybe we neglected it just a little bit. What are you standing on? You got the foundation there to stand on? Maybe you need to get in the Bible and find the foundation. Because you're not going to find it anywhere else. I'm standing with what? I'm fighting with what?
You look kind of funny in the spirit, standing there swinging your arm without a sword in it, in your hand. I didn't get that picture. He gave it to me. You standing there swinging your arm, nothing in your hand to swing. Look kind of funny, don't we? So he says we're in a war, we're in a fight, it's not carnal, we don't war according to the flesh. Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, and we talked about that. You've got to have the weapons. They're there. They're at your disposal. But unless you get in the Word of God, you're not going to have the weapon to destroy the enemy and to win this war that you're in. We lost a couple of major battles the latter part of 2007, the first part of 2008, but we have not lost the war. We have not lost the war. We might have lost a couple of major battles, but we're not going to lose the war, and we're not going to stop. You don't just fold up your tent and stop right now. Just don't do that. You get that fire back in your belly that you once had when you were born again, when you assaulted hell with the water pistol. Remember those days? You assaulted hell with the water pistol. Sometimes you just have to take it by force. So I did. For those on the audio recording, I just handed the water pistol back to the pastor. You don't have the weapons, you're not going to win. You're going to get cheated out of a lot of stuff that God has for you. He already gave it. It's just us taking it, receiving it, doing something with it. I'm not going to lose any more battles. I lost it. So let's go on here just a little bit more. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So these weapons that we have, and they're described, in the Word of God, especially in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. You don't have to turn there. It'll still be there when you get out of church. These weapons are for pulling down strongholds. Well, let's find out where the strongholds are at. Well, casting down arguments. Well, where do the arguments come? Where do you receive the arguments? The Word of God says that by His stripes you were healed. The argument comes and says, you're not healed. Do you see any change? God must not be working. He must not want to heal you. He didn't choose you to be healed. He chose you to live with this. That's the argument. Where's it coming at? In the mind. In the thinking process. It might come from an individual, maybe your close friend, maybe a relative, maybe a Looney Tune relative. We've all got Looney Tune relatives. You know, I know that. I got a few. So I figure if I got a few, you probably got a few. You know, they can come from anywhere, but where's it assault at? Where's the assault at? It's on the mind. The strongholds are in your thinking. You got stinking thinking. Your mind's being assaulted. That's where your stronghold's at. That's where the war is at. For the pulling down of strongholds. Where? In your mind. To change how you're thinking and looking at things. You look at this church and you look at it as a place to come on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. But yet God looks at it as something else, as an appointment place for you to keep. And while we're on that subject, if church starts at 10 o'clock, why don't you be here at 9:45 instead of 10:45? You're meddling now. You're getting in on my life and meddling. That's okay. I'll leave here after tonight. You can go back to being like you were. If you had a toothache and it was throbbing and swollen with infection and oozing out the gums, and you called the dentist, said, I need an appointment, and they said, well, come in at 10 o'clock. Would you get there at 10:45? I think not. You'd get there at probably 9:30 to make sure you was there in plenty of time for him to pull the thing out. Yet you don't treat God that way. You put him way down on the list. Church starts at 10. I'll wait through praise and worship. Because God's probably not there during praise and worship. I'll get there at 10:45. It's up to you to keep your appointment with God. Nobody can make you. But I can tell you this, the reason that you're doing it, because you're not spending any time with God, that's why. Not spending any time in here. If you were, you'd start changes in your life. You'd be a different person. You'd start changes in your life. All kinds of changes. Like, not only am I going to get there early for service, I'm going to get there and find out if there's anything I can do for those pastors. I'm going to get there to see what I can do for this city. See? This church is really not about you. This church is about the city that's going down. casting down arguments. The stronghold is in the mind. If the fortress is in the mind. And it's been there a long time, so the devil's had time to build the walls strong and thick and tall, hard to penetrate because of religion, false doctrine, false teachings. And the weapons, it must be able to be pulled down, though there must be hope because the weapons are there for the pulling down of the stronghold. Casting down argument and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Well, how are you going to know the knowledge of God? If you spend time entering these doors on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, just to make yourself feel good and to soothe your conscience, how are you going to know the knowledge of God if you don't spend time with Him and whatever it is that you can find out to find out? I want to know what God's like. I want to know what God is actually really like. I don't want to be lied to any longer. I want to know what God is like. I want to know how He thinks. I want to know what He thinks about situations. I want to know about God. You're not going to know about God unless you're in the Word of God. That's the only place you're going to find Him. Well, I'll go in prayer and pray in the Spirit, and that way I'll find Him and know about God. Well, He won't lead you wrong. Even if you do find Him, He's going to bring you back to the Word of God that you don't even know whether it's Him or not because you don't know the Word of God. How are you going to know whether it's Him that's talking to you? How are you going to know them voices? You know the devil can come as an angel of light and appear to be God. Sound like God. Almost say the same thing that God does. He did it in Matthew chapter 4 with Jesus twisting the Word around. But Jesus knew the Word. He was the Word. Well, He left us the inspired Word of God for you to get into and find out what God is like and how He thinks and what He actually says. I apologize. I take full responsibility. You should have been in the Word of God. We teach you to pray in the Spirit and to fast and to worship and use confession to change your circumstances. But we assume too much sometimes that people come into the church and they've had step one and two and the foundation has been laid so we can go on to three and four and not worry about one and two. That's wrong. You need to get in the Word of God. That is your foundation. That is step one and two. You're not going to know what's right and what's wrong unless you have the Word of God. You're going to be led astray if you don't have something to compare the voice that you're hearing. He deceives you in your thinking. He deceives you in your walk and leads you astray. Because you do not know what God actually says and what the truth is. And you open yourself up to be stolen from, little by little, step by step, drip by drip. And He'll even take you so far to steal your salvation. He can even do that. I really didn't want to come. I'm just being honest with you. I wanted to come for the fellowship, to see you all, and to thank you for all your prayers and support. But I didn't want to come with the message that he gave me to come with. Do you like this church? Then where's your calluses? You like this church? What are you doing coming in 30 minutes late? You like this church? What are you doing coming in warming a seat and leaving each service and not doing anything about what's going on around you? You like this church? When's the last time you crossed the aisle and blessed somebody? When's the last time you got out and knocked on a door that God leads you to? Says, God led me here. Is there any way I can help? That's what this church is about. It's not about us warming seats. The grace is running out. Only you, not the pastors, only you can change what is about to happen. I expect to come again sometime, and everybody pull up their pants so they can show me the calluses. Mark, you ever heard me preach like this? You have? I must have forgot. Well, you know, good thing about a free will is when I leave tonight, you can start getting those calluses on your knees. Or you can go on about your business like you were. That's the good thing about free will. You get to make the choice. Stand to your feet. I know some are, I could just hear some are saying, oh God, I'm glad that part's over. Hey, we're just getting started. Thank you, Father. I tell you what, let's do. Let's just gently play.